chapter 10. And then another extra finger and put that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So you got your hands all over the Bible today, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Would you bow with me this morning? Lord Jesus, we are desperate people who need you to show up in a powerful way this morning and speak to us through your word. And I understand, Lord, it's stormy outside, but it's also stormy in some of our hearts. And we desperately need a word from our Savior. And what's so wonderful, Lord, is you're more willing and ready to speak to us than we are even to hear. And so I pray that even at this moment, we get ready to hear. In your precious name I pray. Amen and amen. Once well said, problems, well, they're not really problems. They are just opportunities in work clothes. And wouldn't you agree that whatever the hurdle or whatever the hassle or whatever the test or whatever the trial, with a little bit of effort and a little bit of encouragement, maybe with some time and some trust and some sweat and the Spirit of God, and a lot of prayer and a little bit of patience, many times you'll discover a miraculous change. Yes, it's this transformation, this alteration now becomes an opportunity that after the fact, when you look back and you look on, you'll say, you know what? Quite honestly, I'm very thankful. I'm actually grateful for the lesson I learned with that problem I had. That problem actually becomes priceless. Priceless problems, yes. And that is the truth that we'll see in 1 Peter chapter 4 and even more. And so this morning in 1 Peter chapter 4, I want to draw your attention to verses 12 and 13. Look at what it says. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, "Beloved, do not think it is strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. The implication is that trials are common to man. Now, if you're not aware of that, let me say it to you in this way. You will, at some point in time in your life, if you haven't experienced it yet, you will at some time go through a heartache or a hardship. You will face some difficulties and disappointments. And sometimes it will be so hard that you could easily just toss in the towel, quit, and just walk away. But wait a minute, preacher. I didn't know that trials was part of the plan, and I didn't know it was part of the program. I always kind of thought that the Christian life would be a little bit easier. And folks, I wonder why sometimes we assume, and really we assume so mistakenly, that when we give our lives to Christ that we would find ourselves suddenly on a path that was prepared for us without any potholes and without any pitfalls. Why do we think that? Because quite the opposite is really true. And we can see that in John chapter 16 and verse 33. That's just a few pages to your left. It's where you left one of your fingers, right? You can free that finger now. This is where Jesus declares, John 16, verse 33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, I want you to keep in mind the second half of that verse, "I have overcome the world." Yes, Jesus has overcome the world. And we can be of good cheer because someday soon, His overcoming power will take us from here to there. But right now in the world, it says you will have tribulation. You will face tribulation. There will be tests, there will be trials. It's James, and it's the first chapter, and it's the second verse, and James says it this way, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Now, did you see how that sentence read? Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. James doesn't say, if you happen to have a trial. He says, no. You will. Count on it. You will have a trial. And if, in fact, that disappoints you, I'm sorry, but welcome to the Christian life. Welcome to the faith, because your faith will have to be tried and tested. And the Christian life is not going to be always smooth sailing. No, there will be times when you will actually ask, what is this all about? Why am I going through all of this? And that trial, it can drive you through the or to the edge. And trials, they take me to the edge sometimes. You wanna know what takes me to the edge? I'm gonna share with you this morning. It's called traffic. It's traffic. And some of you already know that about me. And for some of you, traffic is your thing too, because that's why you laughed when I said traffic drives me to the edge. It's like and I don't know, when I came to Christ, I assumed and falsely assumed that when I came to Christ, that going from point A to point B in life, that it would always just be easy. It'd be smooth sailing. But do you know how frustrating it is? With the red lights in downtown Monroe? I mean, you pull up to an intersection and all the lights are red in all four directions. And you just sit there and you wait and you wait. We do this every Sunday morning, don't we? And you sit there and you just wait and you wait and you wait. And I'm the only one at the intersection. Somebody ought to be going, right? I mean, somebody should be moving. There are no other cars on the road. I should be moving forward. Do you know how frustrating red lights are, especially with gas prices as high as they are? I mean, I'm just sitting there and wasting money and wasting gas. Do you understand that our fuel problem here in America is because we don't have easy traffic flows, right? And if we could get from point A to point B without having red lights, do you know how much money we would save? And so, now I decided this morning, I'm looking for a presidential candidate who will fix our traffic problems. That's what I'm looking for. And the real point is, made with a little bit of humor, we all face trials. If my biggest trial was only traffic, oh, how wonderful that would be. But listen, we live in a fallen world. And the reasons that you and I face trials and tribulations is because in this fallen world are fallen people with their fallen philosophies. I mean, we have people who are thinking thoughts they ought not think and doing things they ought not do. And all of it's because of this fallen state that we live in. And so we have to endure the frustrations of the fall. And that means there will be trials in some form or another, maybe even every day in your life. You see, God never promised us an easy life. And if you consider yourself a Christian, you probably know that to be true. You probably already realize that. One of the things, as you read in your Bible about the last days, one of the last day signs is that the love of many will grow cold. And what happens when in the heart of man, his heart actually begins to harden, and his viewpoint and his perspective, as the Bible has declared, has once happened and will once again happen. And it's where good is looked on as bad and bad is looked on as good, and our value system is completely inverted. I was reading a little fairy tale, a little story the other day that really reflected this. See, I do a lot of reading, and things like Little Red Riding Hood keep me going. And you may not have heard the modern day Little Red Riding Hood story. And if you've never read it, you probably don't want to. But since you're here today and it's raining and you're not going to try to leave, let me tell you the Little Red Riding Hood story, the modern day version, okay? It's really interesting. Once upon a time, because that's how you start these stories, right? Once upon a time, in a far country, there was a little girl by the name of Little Red Riding Hood. Her mother asked her to take a basket of fruit over to grandmother's house. The grandmother, who happened to be ill, lived all alone in a cottage out in the forest. The story is very familiar, right? You know this story well. Well, what happened was that there was a wolf, and he was lurking in the bushes listening to the conversation, and he decided to take a shortcut to grandmother's house so he could get all the goodies for himself. And so the wolf breaks into the grandmother's house and attacks the grandmother, ties her up, and puts her in the back bedroom. Then puts on grandmother's clothes and lies in wait for Little Red Riding Hood to come to the house. When Little Red Riding Hood arrives at the house, comes in the door, the wolf begins making threatening remarks to Little Red Riding Hood. And then all of a sudden, he jumps up to attack her. Well, frightened, Little Red Riding Hood bursts out the door, begins running through the woods, and she is screaming, "Help me! Help me! The wolf is chasing me!" Well, a lumberjack who was working close by came to her rescue with an axe in hand. Chasing the wolf, he took several swings with his axe, striking the wolf 2 times. He saved Little Red Riding Hood's life, and all the townspeople hurried to the scene and proclaimed the lumberjack a great hero. But not the end of the story. You see, there was an investigation into the events of that day, and several facts emerged. Number one, the wolf had never been advised of his rights to an attorney. Number two, the lumberjack, when he was chasing the wolf, made no attempts to yell stop and made no warning swings before striking and seriously wounding the wolf. Number three, the ACLU stressed that though the wolf had attacked the grandmother and Little Red Riding Hood, the wolf was only doing what society had prepared him to do by society's treatment of wolves. So they concluded that the wolf did not deserve to be attacked by the lumberjack and should not have been arrested and should not have been thrown in jail. So on the basis of all these findings, the wolf was set free. Moreover, the lumberjack was indicted. for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Several nights afterwards, the lumberjack's cottage was burnt to the ground because some of the protesters were angry at what the lumberjack had done to the wolf. The lumberjack went on trial and was found guilty of all charges. And 6 months later, at the sentencing hearing for the lumberjack, the judge spoke of how brave the wolf had been and apologized to the wolf for all the suffering he had endured. But it was Little Red Riding Hood who gave the most touching tribute when she said that she had been selfishly grateful for the lumberjack's intervention and realized now how she had way overreacted and that the lumberjack should have never attacked the poor wolf. When she was through with her speech, there wasn't a dry eye in the courthouse. And hogwash, I say. Hogwash. What's that? We live in a time where we can actually vilify what's good and idolize what's bad. And at the movies and all the stories and the television and the attitudes of people, it's where the good guy is bad and the bad guy is good. And we don't know if the good guy is bad or good or if the good guy is good or bad. We have no idea because now we live in a society where right is wrong and wrong is right and nobody knows. And I'm shocked and surprised by it all. But if I come back to the Word of God and I realize what the Word of God teaches, I shouldn't be surprised. And I shouldn't be shocked. And I should understand that trials are common to man. And I can now see the truth. And the lumberjack and Glenn and you, none of us should be surprised. We should not think it strange concerning trials as if something strange was happening to us. What do we expect, really? What is it that we expect? Back to 1 Peter chapter 4. Let me read to you once again, verse 12. Here's what we can expect. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Did you notice it says fiery trial? That means trials that come in our lives come in different categories. That there are many different categories of trials. Some trials are harder than other trials. And some of you right now are probably going through a fiery trial. And that word for fiery there, in the original language, it means painful and burning. And that word fiery in the Greek comes from two other words, furnace and cauldron. So some of you right now, you are in the heat of a trial. Some of you may be coming out of the heat. And tomorrow, some of you may walk right into the heat. I can tell you, when somebody goes through a fiery trial, here's what we need to do as brothers and sisters. We need to be praying about and praying for those people. We need to really get back to intercessory prayer. It's so very, very important. Because I know that some trials, again, it will take you right to the edge. And if we're not careful, it'll take us right over the edge. You see, fiery trials, you couldn't and shouldn't go at it alone. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going to show you more about that. But fiery trials, they can make you say, they can drive you to the point where you say, I can't take this anymore. I can't do this anymore. It's just too hard. Lord, it's lasted too long. Can't do it. Oh, how necessary it is that you and I pray for one another, that we pray these folks through their trials. How wonderful it would be if we really as a church took on prayer as important as it is and really prayed for one another. What a great day it'll be. What a great day it'll be that every Sunday, every time we get together, that we come and we fall before the altar of God and we pray for other people. Pray for them to get through these fiery trials. We should be praying for these people. Well, let me ask you, what's your attitude toward people who are going through trials? Do you go, well, you know, I hope they make it. I know it's hard, and I hope they're going to be okay. And then we just go back to our business. Or sometimes, do we make the mistake and assume that what they're going through, well, just the judgment of God. Too bad for them. You know, they shouldn't have been doing what they were doing. And, you know, it's just, I'm sorry for them, but they, too bad. They're just getting the judgment of God, and that's just how it is. Oftentimes, more often than we even want to admit, the trials that we go through, sure, it's self-inflicted. We brought it on ourselves. But do you know that God is still trying to provide a way for us? He hasn't turned his back on us. He hasn't cast us to the side. And sometimes for them to find the way, they'll find the way through your prayers, through what you were doing. How is it the church is the only group that wants to shoot our wounded? Why are we that way? I mean, how is it that we as soldiers in the Lord's army find that we need to kick those who are down and shoot those who are hurt? I mean, I find as a true soldier in the army of God, as I'm walking along beside other soldiers, that sometimes they see that landmine and they'll walk right into it. I understand that's what happened, and suddenly, boom, and their life just blows up. And I can't believe what happened, and they can't believe what happened. But it's at that point that I have an opportunity to help rescue and help and see if I can bandage the wound. Way too often in the body of Christ, we're going, wait a minute. They should have seen what they were doing. Wait a minute. Why didn't you put on the full armor of God? Wait a minute. You asked for what you did. I mean, You asked for this. Stop it. Stop it. He's bleeding. She's hurting. They need our help. We should be going, what can I do? What can I do? How can I help? Can I show you something about God's sympathy and how God has this tendency that even when we are in this fiery furnace, even in the midst of a trial, God's right there with you and wanting to provide a way for you. It's 1 Corinthians, it's chapter 10, and it's verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says this, no temptation, and that word temptation there, it has a fascinating meaning. The first word in the Greek dictionary following that word temptation is an experiment. Oh my. Oh my. The second is a trial, just like you and I have been talking about this morning. And then, of course, we understand temptation as temptation comes in our life. So it says, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. There it is, that common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. You've heard people say, you just don't understand. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't understand, and I can't take it anymore. I absolutely cannot take it anymore. And what do we do when we can't take it anymore? We do what we should have done before we got to the point where I can't take it anymore. We take it to Him who is more than able to do what we cannot do. And that's why the Scripture says, once again, no temptation has overtaken you. Overtaken you? It's not supposed to overtake you. It's not supposed to overtake us. When we take our temptation, when we take our trials to Him, we let Him take over. We take it over to Him who can take over. He who is faithful. God who is faithful is not going to let you be tempted and tried beyond what you are able. He will help us if we bring it to Him. And again, fiery trials, they're not something that we should face alone. And fiery trials, well, I understand fiery trials. When it comes to fiery trials, there are certain seasons in a Christian's life where you see no end to the trial. There are certain seasons for the Christian where the trials are no small thing. No small thing in a specific area. No. It's like it's a big thing in every area of our life. I mean, have you ever been at that point in your life where you're thinking, I can handle this. I can handle this. Although I have this problem at work, I'm going through this trial at work, and it is stressful, everything is good at home, so I'm going to be okay. You ever had that? Or maybe have you ever had a time where things are a little rough at home, things are a little stressful at home, but it's good at work, and so at least you have work as a refuge? And so you're thinking, well, right now, I can handle this. I can work through this. It's all going to work out. The trial's hard, but I'm going to make it. Well, what happens when it's bad at work and it's bad at home and your health turns bad and the kids are rebelling and the car breaks and the air condition breaks and everything in your house falls apart? Now, that's a fiery trial. And it's right there where we should have taken this thing to God, because it's right there. We've been taken right to the very edge where we're ready to give up. And you know what happens at the very edge? If you'll listen closely, God will go, I am here. I am here. Come unto me. I am here. Folks, it's really important for you and I to know that God is here, because sometimes God is silent. It's so important for us to know that God is here. And do you know how God will show up in a trial? Often. How God will show up in our trials? It will be sometimes at a Bible study, just like today. Just like today. And you would be amazed at how important, Just for that reason alone, how important church is. You see, I need church. You need church. And coming to the house of God and being around brothers and sisters, we need that. We need that. We need that fellowship. I mean, have you ever come to church and you are in the midst of a trial and it's very, very difficult, and somebody just walks up to you and they offer you an encouraging word, or somebody walks up to you and they begin telling you a story about this trial that they are going through, and it's a trial that you're going through, or it's a trial that you've gone through, and you're able to offer them words of comfort? Do you know how much that means? Do you know how important that is? Church is so very, very important. God works. God works in the midst of us. Let me show you that. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. And this is where we'll end it today. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. Listen to what it says. blessed be the God, or it could read, praise be to God. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Did you see that? Who are in any trouble. It didn't say how the trouble came. It just says who are in any trouble. Verse 5, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Some of you here today, you know what you are? You are agents of God's mercy and comfort. That's what you are. And praise be to God if you would show mercy and comfort to those who are in a trial. Praise be to God, because it will be as if Christ Himself is speaking through you and providing the comfort and mercy that they so desperately need. It's a trial. It's sometimes a fiery trial. They are not supposed to, in the body of Christ, have to go through that alone. Now, here's what I know, folks. God is faithful. And God is faithful to provide a way. And here's the word for the church. So often, God's way is through you. So often. It's through you. You can and should be the instrument that God uses to provide the way. We live in a messed up world today, folks. We live in a world, as the Bible says, we'll all face trials and temptations and hard times. We sure do need one another. Would you stand with me today? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, the first thing that comes to my mind at this moment is just to say, help. Help, God. I know that in the midst of this crowd today, there are some hurting people going through some difficult times. Help. Help, God. Help them. And give us all that relief that comes through comfort and mercy. And those of us, Lord, who can pray and who should be praying, give us the courage to come along someone and be a long-time prayer warrior in their life. Help us, God. Help us. I pray in your precious name. Amen.